Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble and John Jackson filling in for Aaron here live for the 9 o'clock hour on November 4th. We are taking phone calls and messages through the phone calls, 406-294-0970. Call in and talk to the producer. He'll get your message to us. Accepting messages as well on the app. Let me get through some of these. Francis in Big Fork said, thank you for bringing this up. Dems want us to pay for illegals' health care and push us to a communist system like Canada. Absolutely, Francis. Spot on. Shelley in Gallatin Gateway writes in, the Montana mail-in election is another joke. And the Secretary of State should be embarrassed. I don't understand that. We have mail-in elections because of what the legislature did. Shelley goes on, these are the same people that melted down that Elon via Doge had everyone's SSN. I don't remember any Republicans melting down about that, but okay. Now they want you to put your signature with your birth date on your ballot. You don't have to put your birth date. That's also wrong, Shelley. Thank you, though. Fred in the Flathead says, according to her bio, Haley McKnight was brought to Montana by Bill Clinton's AmeriCorps, a government-funded leftist activist recruitment program. And, yeah, John Jackson, you actually had read some of the quotes. You know what's funny is I read some of these articles about what this Democrat, Haley McKnight out of Helena, had said, and the articles in the mainstream media aren't showing all of what she actually said in terms of some of the really horrible stuff. And so I don't know if you want to convey those again, and then if you've got I'm not sure if you saw that. I don't know if it was it Kat Hawley that broke the news about this Haley McKnight, not even a Montanan.
Yeah. The Montana media, in typical fashion, is either they're covering up for this lady in various ways, making her out as the victim, and downplaying what she did.
Now that we're on a new hour, actually, let me just lay the table, because I don't know if folks know, but here's what happened. Haley McKnight is a Democrat candidate for the city commission. She left a voicemail for Tim Sheehy, threatening Tim Sheehy's life and saying a bunch of horrible things. And Tim Sheehy's office just released this. And so you've got a Democrat city commissioner candidate in Helena, Haley McKnight, who left this horrible, horrible voicemail.
Yeah, and it's, I hope that your children never forgive you. I hope that you're infertile. I hope you never manage to get up ever again. You're the worst piece of I've ever met and have the fortune of looking at. Blah, 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 blah. God forbid that you ever meet me on the streets, because I will make you regret it. F you, I hope you die. And she went on to wish pancreatic cancer on him, all that. And taken as a whole, that is an absolute 100% threat against a U.S. senator, and she needs to pay the consequences for it.
No doubt. She ought to be arrested, prosecuted to the fullest extent. And we had a lot more to say about that, but we got that message, wanted to get through. We got another one from Buck and Bozeman, and then I know John Jackson's got a story for us. You guys are going to want to hear about another Montana Democrat getting onto some national news and some national lists. So 406-294-0970 or the Montana Talks app. David Noble and John Jackson filling in for Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we're going to get to this one message from Buck and Bozeman. Since this is Montana Talks, before I turn John Jackson loose on the national story that he's got, Buck says, the whole justice system is killing me. If you want to lower crime, actually punish people. Look at every murder case that has happened in the last 10 years. People are getting 30 years and 60 years for murder. That is simply not a deterrent. The punishment for a crime should not be seen as an individual matter, but a preventive matter for the entire group. Do the job right. We don't need a bigger jail. Stop using the excuse that a bigger county so there's more crime. Also, when you say someone needs to pay their dues to society, they need to actually offset the financial burden that they have placed on the victim and the taxpayer. I'm totally on board with the message, except I'm not sure how you lock people up for longer without more jail space, I guess would be my sort of comment on that.
I mean, I'll take it to the next step. I've said for a long time, if in whatever system, if you get sentenced to a jail term of 10 years or more, where you have to serve 10 years or more, that should be equivalent to the death penalty. Because why do I have to put you up for that amount of time? And they show you the studies that people that are in there for that long a time are never rehabilitated. They're coming out worse than they went in. They're coming out destroyed people that are just going to continue their life of crime out here on the streets. That just needs to be death penalty right there.
So, and then look at what you see out of the blue cities like New York City or LA. It's like every single time there's a crime there, what do we find out about the perpetrator? They've been arrested 15, 20 times. They've been put in jail here and there, and then they got released.
And it's not just what everybody's finding out now in this last year or so since Trump came in, is you're hearing all the reports from these smaller cities like, say, a Charlotte and these other cities you don't even think about as, you know, a big, nasty blue city, but they are absolutely run top to bottom by these left-wing radicals that are doing the same thing that they're doing up in New York and everywhere else, because it is all about destruction. It is about destroying you and victimizing you through anarcho tyranny, opening up the doors to the zoo and letting the animals run free.
Right. Okay. So you've got a there's a Montana Democrat that made national news. Is that right, John?
Yeah. I just have to click on, you know, New York Magazine, right? It's big.
Oh, I thought you were a subscriber.
Oh, well, I had to put that down. It was just getting too much. It got a little too expensive. But yeah, I just happened to see their little Twitter bit here, in which they have picked the 25 youngish top Democrat stars out there all around the country that they think is going to be the next rising star. And you never guess who one of them is. It is our boy, Zach Rash. Also, who calls himself Zoe Zephyr. You know, the dude wearing the dress over there in Missoula, that's a Montana legislator. Yeah, he's considered one of the top 25 young Democrat rising stars. And guess why? I'll give you one guess why.
Because he's trans.
Oh, bingo.
Well, isn't that why he got on stage with AOC and Bernie at the Missoula thing?
I mean, what is dude known for other than the trans erection here a couple of years ago? Last year, did he do a single thing, have any kind of bill that got through anywhere, have any kind of effect as a legislator?
Well, yeah, that's we were talking during the break, and my sort of first comment was like, Why choose him? Like he doesn't give a good speech. He's not charismatic. It's like I was even said, like, you look at somebody like AOC or Barack Obama, very charismatic, very good public speakers. But Zoe Zephyr, no. Like why would you put somebody like that? He doesn't have a future. We'll put it that way.
No, and not in any way charismatic, has no gravitas, has no background other than their sexual identification. That's it, 100%. And also, that transurrection here a couple of years ago where they stormed the Capitol, the liberals and the media love that. So that's their way, that's New York Magazine's way of saying more, 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 do it again.
Yeah, you know, I think the New York Magazine had a picture of Zoe Zephyr. How would you describe the picture?
Well, let's imagine a man in a dress, you know, in a chair in the middle of the street, and some kind of background of, you know, small town Montana or whatever. But it's totally out of place and inappropriate. And you're looking at it like, you know, how is that in any way cool? I don't get it. And of course, you see he's wearing his hose and all that stuff.
You know, if you listen to a lot of trans people online talk to each other, they'll always talk about, like, are you passing? Am I passing? Like, that's what they're really concerned about, is passing. Are you familiar with that?
I am not. Tell me what that means.
That means, like, you can convince another person that you're actually of the different gender. That's called passing as a trans.
Oh, wow.
So I guess I was going to ask you, John, based on that picture, would you say Zoe Zephyr is passing?
Not even close. Like, I mean, I think I could put on a dress and look just as good as he does. And that's saying a lot there. The only people I've ever seen in my life that I think could pass are, you heard of the ladyboys in Thailand? Those type, you know, they're very, very petite men that have also had some plastic surgery done, although they look very, very feminine. But other than that,
You know, coming back from my overseas trip recently, I was reading a bunch of news, and there was an article in the Wall Street Journal about how there's kind of a civil war going on in the LGBTQ movement right now, and it's basically the traditional homosexuals against the sort of the trans more radical side, and what the homosexuals are saying is like, you're basically trying to erase us, because it used to be if you were a feminine man and those types of things, it was okay to be gay, and now a lot of the transgender radicals will say, no, you're actually the different gender. And transgenderism basically gets rid of gay people because they're saying it's fluid, whereas the whole premise, besides being a homosexual, is that it's a biological two different thing, and it's they're totally contradicting each other.
You had me right there when you said they're fighting each other.
That's
all I need to hear. I love it.
All right, we'll be right back.
With Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We're here, folks. We are taking messages here. We got a couple. Montana Sapphire in Lakeside says, A. Smith is a heavy read for a non-economist. A better book is Economics in One Lesson by Henry Hazlitt. So good recommendation there as far as I haven't read that one by Henry Hazlitt, but Economics in One Lesson is the name of the book recommended by Montana Sapphire. Cameron in Billings writes in, thank you again, Cameron. Would you vote for free lunches at schools if it made you pay slightly extra in taxes? John?
Absolutely not. I mean, no. If you want your kid to get a free lunch, you should have to come in and register with the school along with your tax form, some kind of proof showing you are indigent, just like you have to do to get Medicaid. That same kind of proof if you want school lunches. And we will have a fund for people that are truly needy and truly don't have that money to get the kid that they chose to have that now we have to feed. Yes, we will make sure that happens. But everybody else, not one more dime in taxes.
Right. And also, the government is not usually the best entity to do that. My point with like the SNAP, the food stamp program, the mere fact that that program has been put on ice and is now not being sent out, et cetera, the mere fact that that happens in effect, that is exhibit A as to why you should not have food stamps at the federal level, because they're incompetent. That's the federal government we're talking about. Why would you want to be dependent? Like Aaron Flint was saying, the real emergency is being this dependent on the federal government.
42 million people in the United States right now are on this program. 12% of the current population, and 60% of illegal alien households are on this. We are feeding the stray dogs that Joe Biden let in here, and that's why we can't get them to leave. You have to attack every benefit they have. Their jobs and every single benefit they have has to stop if you want to truly get these people out of here.
Absolutely. Maria in Bozeman says, when you look at the police chief from Glendive who poached 3 meal bucks and the Fort Peck Reservation and then had the audacity to have them hung in his office as the chief of police, he then had at least 2 or 3 of the people that he tried to get to collaborate on an alibi for him to turn to state's evidence to say that, yes, this guy is witness tampering. There are multiple other lawsuits that involve this chief Swisher guy, including blacklisting and other acts. He got 6 months probation from hunting in the state of Montana and a $500 fine. Whoop the freaking do. Maria in Bozeman. I'm not familiar with that story out of Glendive. Are you?
No, I hadn't heard it. But I could tell you, that plays into, you see stories like this quite a bit across the country. You'll see some police chief or some sheriff, and most of the time it's from some very, very rural area, out in the middle of nowhere where this type of stuff happens. And it goes right back to this thing. You've got a lot of these Republicans right here in the state of Montana trying to push last year, and they probably try to do it again, this ridiculous Sheriff's First bill, right, where they try to say that the sheriff is the ultimate, well, he is the ultimate local law enforcement in your county, but they want to try to make federal agents report to this guy about what they're doing and when they're coming into that county. And first of all, read the Constitution, people, the Supremacy Clause. That's illegal. It's unconstitutional. Wouldn't pass one court challenge. But see, the second thing is, I grew up in the South, where these type of sheriffs were everywhere. And if you didn't have some kind of check and balance on this guy, these people end up moonshining and running dope and running girls and all kind of protection rackets. You have to have checks and balances on everyone's power.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what I've seen a lot is, in especially in these smaller counties, it's not necessarily the sheriff or the chief of police or anything like that. it's the county commissioners in a lot of these counties that are really out of control. And that's, I think it's because there's no check and balance on, I mean, if you're a county commissioner in some of these smaller counties in Montana, you really don't have anybody overseeing you and you're kind of the big deal in town. And as we know from human nature, when humans get power and there's no accountability, they oftentimes end up abusing it. So I think you're seeing a lot of abuse by the county commissioners in some of these smaller counties, too, unfortunately.
Oh, you want to hear a funny story? Back in the day, you know, at a galaxy far, far away many years ago when I was down in South Florida, we had heard that a dope load had come in and was hidden somewhere in the Everglades. And we're in our boat going in and out looking for it. And boom, we go around one corner in this one inlet, and there is the sheriff and his deputy sitting in their boat, just sitting there. They're like, what are y'all doing here? Oh, we're out looking for that load. We heard about the load coming in. We're like, oh, okay. But we see there's not a single leaf in their boat. Like, they've gone nowhere. Dude, we go right around the next inlet, and there's the load sitting there. They were out there guarding it.
Wow. Wow.
And this guy was the lieutenant of the sheriff's substation out there 50 miles from the nearest seat of government.
Wow.
Yeah, it happens. There's no question it happens. Okay, so John Jackson was talking about Zach Rash, a.k.a. Zoe Zephyrs, got a new picture up in New York Magazine, and he was explaining it, and that triggered a TC in Billings to write in. He says, it was the Epstein-Bill Clinton painting pose. And we both started laughing because that's exactly what it looks like.
Exactly.
Even with, like, the side leg, like, the leg up on sort of the side of the chair type of thing.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, the size 12 gunboats, you know, sitting up there for on full display, right?
Out of my way.
Don't I look sexy, David?
Right. My favorite thing is when Aaron Flint does, like, the really rough, low, gravelly voice impersonating a transgender man. One of the most hilarious things. All in good fun, of course. All in good fun. John Jackson and I, of course, in real life, face-to-face, show everybody nothing but love and respect and kindness, right?
Always. Always live by the Patrick Swayze motto. Is that be nice. Until it's time to not be nice. But right. Always first to be nice.
I like that. Hey, I like that. Cameron in Billings writes in, do you think we need federal judicial reform to give the Supreme Court checks and balances? I personally don't think so. It sounds more like more headache than help. My opinion is on federal judicial reform is we need better judges. We need people like Bill Mercer, who just got confirmed. We need people like who Donald Trump has put on the Supreme Court. Frankly, I think the current makeup of the U.S. Supreme Court is as good of a U.S. Supreme Court as we've had in my life.
The reform that I think needs to happen out there somehow, and I can't tell you how it happens, it would have to happen from a stance from the Trump administration and the Bondi DOJ, where they say, we are reestablishing the notion of co-equal branches of government. Because these courts for so long, including the Supreme Court and these federal courts, are acting as if they are a superior branch of government, and they get to order you what to do. And that is not how the Constitution is spelled out.
In some ways, I think you've seen the Trump administration do that, particularly, frankly, from Marco Rubio. I mean, it was back when, like, Kilmore Garcia and, you know, some of these other, you know, things were happening, and some of the courts were sort of entering into some of what might be considered foreign policy. I mean, Marco Rubio came out at the time and he said, if a court were to try to order me to go and engage in international diplomacy with some country or some, or if the Supreme Court were to order the Trump administration to take military action overseas, they would ignore that court order because that's clearly within the constitutional role of the president, not subject to judicial review when it comes to things like military, foreign policy, et cetera, et cetera. So I think in some areas, the Trump administration is taking back that sort of, hey, we're co-equal and we respect the judges and the courts. But if you guys go too far and you start ordering us how to do international diplomacy and military things like that, they will ignore court orders.
Well, who was one of our famous founders or presidents that said that one time? He said, yeah, that's a great court order. Now enforce it.
I think that was Andrew Jackson.
It might have been Andrew Jackson. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, and that's frankly, you know, from my perspective, like as a lawyer, as a true believer in our constitutional structure, the courts have always maintained their credibility by being fair, by following the law. And so when I see what we see out of some of these lower court courts and some things out of the Montana judiciary, what burns me up is it's these Democrat left-wing activists abusing their power on the bench, whether in the federal or the state system. That's what's causing people to lose respect for the judiciary, and that's what's creating a very dangerous situation where more and more people are starting to support the notion of just ignoring court orders.
Well, you know, Judge Rex Siebel, that's retired here out of Montana, he was a perfect example of what you would call a fair judge, because he's a conservative guy, right? But I was in his courtroom a bunch. And make no mistake, if you brought in something that was effed up in front of him, he was not letting it fly. He was going to shoot that down. No matter his personal, you know, beliefs on things, you had to be straight down the line by the law in his courtroom or it was not going to fly. And see, that's not how the left operates, as you well know.
That is exactly right. I saw this tweet. You know Ben Rhodes? Ben Rhodes is the old Barack Obama guy. He says that tomorrow New Yorkers in my beloved hometown have a chance to write the first chapter of the America that will come after Trump. Voting for Mamdani is an act of hope, defiance, and community all at once. And I read that, and I'm thinking, a vote for Mamdani is an act of defiance against what? Defiance against who? That's my question for Ben Rhodes.
Well, of course it's against the orange man. You know that. But Rhodes proves what we've always said, and what we said in the previous hour, is that this is just an extension of what Obama always was and all his people and what they wanted to be. We're communists. But I tell you, the funniest thing, David, if you remember when Trump originally won in 16, that picture of Ben Rhodes, if he was outside of some building somewhere, they caught him out there like with tears almost coming down his face and looking like somebody killed his dog because Trump had just won. And they caught that in a picture. And a man, I mean, I would just hang that up and look at it every day. It's just a beautiful sight.
That is fantastic. Bruce writes in and says, Madison County is known for that commissioners do whatever they want. See, I knew my comment about the county commissioners would strike a chord. And frankly, Madison County ain't even what I'm thinking of when I'm talking about rural counties. But yeah, no, the county commissioners in a lot of places don't have a lot of oversight other than the people. And it's another reminder for the people to pay attention. David Noble and John Jackson, more after this.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
At Angus Convention in Kansas City this past weekend, Shepherd Montana's Claire Mernon was crowned as Miss American Angus 2026.
I've dreamed of wearing this red jacket for as long as I can remember. And so having the privilege of being able to do it is just a very big honor. And I'm so humbled and blessed that I get to serve this year. To be an advocate for the Angus breed and really be a representative for them. So that includes attending stock shows, sales, and different events put on through the American Angus Association and its entities, including Certified Angus Beef, and more specifically, the American Angus Auxiliary that mainly sponsors this event. And so that includes things like going and visiting ranches through Certified Angus Field Day, Certified Angus Beef Field Days, and even looking at attending stock shows, especially like Louisville and even more like Denver, so many of those different events.
Congratulations to this outstanding young ag leader. And I should also mention, you may have heard Claire's voice last week on our programming, as she is also the state FFA president for Montana. We caught up with her while she was at the national FFA convention as well. So a very busy week for her last week, but a big congratulations to the Shepherd Montana graduate and a big tip of the hat to her folks for raising an outstanding young woman. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
David Noble and John Jackson filling in. Cameron says, so what's the point of checks and balances if the one branch can just choose to ignore the other? Well, no branch can really choose to ignore the other entirely, but certainly the executive branch can choose to ignore. Here, the point about it is, I think, is every single branch has its own obligation to assess the constitutionality of any act. And so when Congress passes a law, that's kind of Congress saying, hey, we think this law is constitutional. When the president signs one, same thing. When the president enforces one, same thing. And so I think you've got a constantly going process of every single branch at the federal level assessing the constitutionality of acts. And I frankly, I'm thankful that we haven't gotten to the point yet where the executive branch has ever had to ignore a judicial branch order. Because that once you cross that line, you're sort of in no man's land, I think.
And it's, no, you're supposed to have separate but equal. And the founders organized our government. I forget who it was. It was Adams saying that our government was only for a moral and just people, and no other type of people could govern it, because you were expected to take these powers and use them responsibly. It was expected that each branch would conduct itself responsibly and be a check and a balance. And the other thing, that all of that flies out the window when you have some inferior, now mind that, inferior local federal district judge telling the president of the United States that his people must come and meet with that judge every day about what's going on in ICE operations, where they're told to take a security fence down in front of their office when they're being besieged by domestic terrorists. It's all of this, where they're told to pay out benefits. You have the federal judiciary telling the executive branch to pay out monies that is prescribed already to it by Congress. So basically that judge is telling not only the executive branch, but Congress, the other two branches, what they're going to do. See, that's where it goes way out of whack. And there will come a time where, you know, say they're going to tell Donald Trump to turn around a battleship or something like that, and he's just going to have to say no.
Right.
Do something about it.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but most of those district court orders that you talked about were overturned on appeal.
Pretty quickly,
most of them, yeah. And the sad part is that it's those district court judges entering orders like that that's causing people to lose respect for the rule of law, to lose respect for the judiciary, to lose respect for the federal courts. And it's like, you Democrat, and then it's like the most insane thing. It's like the Democrats with the shutdown. The Democrats shut down the government, and then they protest the shutdown, you know? And it's like, okay, the Democrats are destroying the public's respect for the judiciary by entering orders, the ones you just mentioned. You just listed them off. You did a very great job of sort of listing them all off. And then they're going to complain about the lack of public respect for the federal judiciary. It's like, you guys are the ones that caused this. It's the same with the shutdown stuff. By the way, did you see in Missoula the Democrats were going to have a die-in? I was like, what is a die-in anyway? What does that even mean? Do you know what that is?
I have no idea. Yeah, zero idea. Wait, did they explain it? They're going to act like they're dead. They're going to cosplay like they died from Donald Trump's policies or something.
That's probably what it was. But I'm just sitting there thinking about, it's like, hold on. Like, you guys were the ones that shut the government down, and now you're protesting it. What?
They are truly confident in their ability to blame anything on the Republicans. When a Democrat's in the White House, there's a shutdown, they get to blame it on the Republicans. When there's a Republican in the White House, they get to blame it on the Republicans. And it's really because our side is really bad at messaging. That's why I said earlier in the hour, this thing about Obamacare, that needs to be couched and said by everybody from the president on down as a bailout. Big, bold letters. This is a yet another bailout of that failed catastrophe of Obamacare.
Yep, that's exactly right. Did you see that here in Yellowstone County, there was a seizure of car fentanyl, 5,300 pills seized here? Did you see that story?
Yeah, I saw that. Yep.
I'm not even, what car fentanyl is like fentanyl times 100 type of thing?
Yeah, and this stuff continues to get in, but this is yet another reason why you have to take the leash off of law enforcement. And that leash has been on them for the last 16 years. Take it off, let them do their jobs, and all of this stuff will stop. But we also have to have prosecutors that'll take these cases, and then judges who will actually put these people in jail. It has to be a whole of government effort, because your police out there, as far as I've seen, your police for years are out there doing their job. jobs, and then the whole thing dies, if not at the prosecutor's office, then at the judge's bench.
Right. And even when the judges are sentencing these folks, a lot of times they're getting out early because we just don't have the space in the prison or in the jails.
Yeah.
Let's go to some messages here. Appreciate you guys sending these in. John in Bozeman says, how is it that we can pay our taxes on time all year, but yet the government isn't open all the time? Where's the money? Why don't we have a tax revolt and not pay taxes until they open the government, John? Well, John, frankly, I like it when the federal government shut down. Yeah. I mean, and by the way, it shuts down every Friday at 5 and opens at Monday at 8, and we're fine.
No, David, it actually shuts down around 3. Federal Friday, yeah. But you're talking about, that brings up a good point right there. Did you see Rand Paul the other day talking about Social Security? And how he wants to now raise the age where you can get it up to 70 or increase the contributions to 25%. It's like, no. This is yet another. It's just like Obamacare. These Republicans, instead of letting this catastrophe die, always want to just throw more money at a failing program.
Okay, just playing devil's advocate here a little bit. I sort of took his statement more as, if you want to save Social Security, this is what you have to, and I was just talking to Commissioner James Brown yesterday, and I had thrown out like, oh, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, they're going insolvent in like 2030, 2031. He pointed out, actually, it's going to stay good till like 2033. It's like, even still, that'll be here before you know it. You're looking at, I mean, that's not very far away, and they've been telling us these programs are going bankrupt for decades and decades and decades. And so I sort of took Senator Paul's comments as saying, if you want to save these, mathematically, you either have to do one or the other, because they've bankrupt. They've all these politicians have taken the money out of the Social Security Trust Fund. It's not there. It's a failed, bankrupted program. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a mathematician or anything. I've never analyzed what mathematically you would have to change to make Social Security solvent. My opinion is we should not be focused on trying to make sure Social Security is solvent and good forever. I think the way to do it is slowly, over time, give people more choice. And so I think the older generations, they should be entitled to 100% of what they're entitled to under current law. And even people that are getting close to retirement should be entitled to that. For the younger generations, you should start to phase out like a choice system where people can start having a choice. Now, is that going to cost a bunch of money out of the general fund to try to subsidize Social Security while we phase it out? Is it going to be potentially painful? Yes, yes, yes. But that's sort of the way I took Senator Paul's comments. I mean, he's a libertarian. He doesn't support Social Security.
Well, you wouldn't think, but he's this guy. You're seeing him ramp it up now. You see these guys like him and Massey and a couple of the other people. These are true conservative warriors right up until there's a Republican sitting in the White House. And then they're against everything, right? They are always that one center. Like right now, he didn't vote to open the government. They're always the contras. They're against everything. And no, I think your idea is dead on about how you would save Social Security. But the other thing is, you got to get all the illegals off of this and stop all the fraud off of all of those programs. Imagine how much money there would be out there if they eliminated the fraud.
Right. It reminds me, we're talking about what the federal court orders. Like, I remember when DOGE was in operation and Trump was withholding payments that were going out with, obviously, this is a fraudulent payment. No, we're not sending out. And then some federal court is like, nope, you got to send that out. It's like, hold on. We know for a fact this is a fraudulent scam payment. We don't want to send it out. The courts are like, nope, you got to send it out.
Well, that's right there. That's a perfect example of what we were talking about a minute ago. You are ordering someone to break the law. No. I'm not going to do that. I tell you who got in the crosshairs of that back in the 80s. There were several cases out there in state, local courts, and some federal courts where police officers or federal drug agents were ordered by a court to give up their informants. And the officers were put on the stand, or agents put on the stand, and they said, no, I won't do it. And several of these people got put in jail for contempt, but they never were going to do it, because if you outed that informant is going to be killed. So you are giving me an order that's going to get somebody killed or in some way illegal, and I'm not going to do it.
K Cameron in Billings says the feds aren't assessing the constitutionality anymore. They're assessing it if it's from their party or not. I think that's right. I agree with that one, Cameron. That's pretty much right. Tracy in Kalispell, this big hurrah over the insurance. A guest on the show said the insurance companies are ready to take customers from Obamacare with Schumer and Jeffries aiding and abetting illegals. That's a criminal act. Where are the arrests? You know what? That's a great one, Tracy. They ought to be more making more arrests, and we'll get John Jackson's take on that. I have a feeling he's in favor of more arrests, too. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We just got a message from Tracy talking about where are the arrests. We went to a break there, and I told John, I was like, you know, we saw that one arrest of that one judge who helped that illegal alien escape out the back of the courtroom. And then I sort of said, you know, we ought to be seeing more arrests like that and more arrests of these NGOs. Where are you at on that, John?
We've been screaming that out here on our spaces and podcasts for 8-9 months. What Cash Patel and Dan Bongino should have done that they haven't done to date is just like post 9/11, where the FBI was repurposed to go after terrorism. You need to be taking 30-40% of your resources out here and repurposing it to go after the hundreds of billions of our tax dollars that are being defrauded every day of the week by this entire monstrous Democrat apparatus out here. And they've proven it. This is not a conspiracy theory. Elon Musk and Doge already proved what's going on out here, but somehow there is no real interest out here in getting this done. And it's every single one of these groups are committing fraud, wire fraud, money laundering every day of the week.
And a lot of them, I mean, even here in Montana, you've got a lot of nonprofits that get government grants. And then what do? They take that money to file lawsuits against our voter ID laws and things like that. I mean, I know for a fact that there's organizations in this state that get taxpayer funds that are using those taxpayer funds to sue the state to try to invalidate our voter ID laws and things like that, and it's egregious.
It's not just that this is hundreds of billions of dollars of our tax money being absolutely wasted and defrauded, but it's being pointed like a gun at the American people, and it has to stop. I've seen President Trump ask for some of it to be done, and I've seen some cases out there being opened in some areas around the edges. But I want to see the whole thing collapse like a chain of dominoes, because if it went down, the entire Democrat funding, lawfare, illegal alien enabling apparatus would collapse.
Right. And the disturbing thing is we are funding a tax on ourselves. Like, we're paying taxes to a government that's then giving that money out to these nonprofits, NGOs, or whatever, that are then using that money to attack us and our way of life and the country.
It used to be you had to depend on these guys like George Soros and Vice and these other guys to fund your evil deeds. Right now, they just figured out how to get, you know, and the Republicans let them do it for the last 4 years, fund all these budgets to make your own tax money used against you.
Yeah, and if you try to cut that spending, then the attack is, how could you cut funding for these charities? You're hurting funding for charities and grants to charities. Well, when the charities are not doing any kind of charitable work, then, I don't mind cutting their funding.
And when they're committing fraud every day of the week and using that money to take the scum of the third world and implant them in your state and your community, I don't have any problem with that.
So I got a couple other stories here to get to. We got a message from Morgan, though, another one. Employees and employers both pay 6.5% into Social Security. Does not include the Medicare tax. Why not allow people to invest that in their own retirement account over their lifetime in addition to any employer-sponsored retirement fund? Let those accrue tax-free and not be taxed when withdrawn. Only usable at retirement age. Encourages savings and independence without the federal cost of administering Social Security. Absolutely right, Morgan. If you could take the money that people put into Social Security and actually invest it and manage it properly, you know, you the returns an individual would get would be way more than what you get on Social Security. So putting money into Social Security is like one of the worst investments a person could make.
Oh, it's terrible. And It's just flat out a slush fund for them to steal from is all it is, under the guise of being some kind of retirement plan for you, which it's not. It's a pittance that you get after they stole it from you for your whole life.
Exactly. Hey, I got a couple of stories here to get to. John, did you have anything? We've only got here another minute and a half or so. Did you have some stories to highlight?
Breaking news from Truth Social. As of 43 minutes ago, President Trump announced on Truth Social that the SNAP benefit, y'all SNAP benefits out there, y'all, that's only going to be paid out when the left opens the government, not before.
Is that right? Because I actually had this story here about the Trump administration says it's going to be able to partially fund SNAP, but it could take weeks. But I've been seeing conflicting stories on this. I mean, first you see there's this contingency fund, and then they say, oh, we can't use that. And then there's a court order that says you have to use that fund, and then they say we can't. And so, I don't know, but it sure seems like the grocery stores are less full these days.
Well, there's going to be we call it a Shaniqua insurrection here, but behind this real quick, right? Particularly if this continues weeks and weeks and weeks on and no SNAP benefits, yeah.
Well, I don't understand how the Democrats are keep highlighting this fact, and the Democrat media keeps highlighting it. It's like, how is that helping you guys politically? The Democrats are the ones that shut this thing down. The Democrats are the ones that put SNAP on ice.
And it highlights the fact that they've put 42 million people on our dole.
Yeah. and let's be honest, there's not 42 million truly needy people. Even if you support the program for the truly needy, it's obviously getting blown out and wasted. And that's why, you know, I had said, as a constitutional matter, that program should be done at the state level or lower. Aaron Flint had a caller call in that said, hey, another benefit of doing it at the state level or lower is there's a lot better administration of it. And I bring up the point, think about people here in Yellowstone County. They're going to know a lot better than somebody in D.C. or Helena about who's being abused and wasteful.
Exactly. I have a hard time feeling sorry for people who are here on social media, obviously with a smartphone and with $10,000 worth of tattoos and 200 pounds overweight, telling me how they're starving because they don't have their SNAP benefits.
Right. Well said, John Jackson. As always, hey, thanks for tuning in. I'll be back live again tomorrow. Don't miss it. David Noble, John Jackson, at PVT Joker US on X. Progressive.